property owners had the valuation done to take it to the market. And one of the big firms came in with a valuation around $20 million less than what it was sold 6 months later.
Welcome to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals who work with investors, buyers, and sellers of commercial real estate coast to coast. Whether you're an investor, broker, lender, property manager, attorney, or accountant, we're here to learn from the experts.
Welcome to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio. Weekly, we share interviews with real estate experts passing on their experience and knowledge to our listeners. Thanks for joining us this week. My name is J. Darren Gross. We're so glad you're here. In just a minute, we're going to speak with CPA Thelma Landhorian. She's Managing Director of Elite Business Consulting, working with commercial real estate investors. And she works to show investors what they can do to increase their net operating income and the value of their commercial real estate. Before we do, I want to invite you to subscribe to our program if you haven't already. If you like what we're doing, you can do that by going to either iTunes or Stitcher. We're on both. And when you get there in the search bar, go ahead and type in Commercial Real Estate Pro Network. And when you click on that, you'll see our logo. It's the headphones with CREPN between the ears. Go ahead and click subscribe, and this will ensure that you get all of our episodes, and you can listen anytime you choose, whether it's in the car, at the gym, or even at your kid's sports practice. When you do subscribe, we'd love for you to leave a comment and let us know what you think. For those of you who don't know me, I am a real estate investor and a commercial property insurance broker. I've been an insurance broker for over 25 years, and my primary clients are real estate professionals dealing in multifamily, retail, warehouse, office, and development. Also, I'm a real estate investor and have been for almost 20 years, and it's based on this that I'm constantly looking for more information about real estate so I can better support my clients and information that I can use in my own investing. And that's basically how this came about, Commercial Real Estate Pro Network and CREPN Radio. The easiest way to reach me is, there's two ways. You can go to jdarrengross.com, that's the letter J, darrengross.com, or you can go to commercialrealestatepronetwork.com, and you can contact me there. There's some contact buttons. Insurance is a part of any real estate transaction. And commercial insurance is greatly different from home and auto insurance. I encourage you to get your free copy of my Real Estate Investor's Guide to Commercial Insurance. You can do that on my jdarrengross.com website, or you can give me a call, and I'll be happy to do all I can to help you. All right, before we go on to the show, one last thing. If you're on LinkedIn, I want to remind you, we have a Commercial Real Estate Pro Network group. It's a great place to go and network with commercial real estate professionals. All right, let's get on to the show. On the line, I am privileged to have Thelma Landhorian. She's a CPA and also an MBA. She's a Managing Director of Elite Business Consulting. I'd like to welcome Thelma. Thelma, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for making time for us today. I'm excited to talk with you and get into our conversation about accounting and how it can benefit real estate investors and the services you provide. But before we do that, if you could do myself and the listeners a favor and tell us a little bit about your background and about your practice.
Sure, I'm glad to be here. I actually been in real estate industry for last 15 years. As you mentioned, CPA and MBA, but mostly specialize in commercial real estate. I've done property management accounting, real estate investment accounting, and so I've helped many firms try to figure out what their numbers mean and how to read the lines. So I basically come in with the purpose of helping investors to make their firm more profitable and also make management decisions easier. So that's what my specialty is.
Great. Well, we connected on LinkedIn here just a little bit ago, and I reached out to you to kind of see if you'd be available to do this, and our conversation was affirmative, and I think the audience will find value in where we're going with this, and just to try and kind of give a little bit of an outline of where we're kind of going on this is essentially the difference, and I'm not to minimize or suggest something doesn't have a value, but the different values in comparison to like a property management firm that is, and I don't want to say all of them are like this, but I would say that a lot of the property managers are probably primarily concerned with making certain that the vacancies are filled, the rent is being collected, because ultimately they're going to get paid off of a percentage of the rents. And what we talked about a little bit and hope to expand on is how over time and how the records may not fully reflect the property to the best of the property owner, the property investor. And so that's kind of the premise. And then with that, why don't we go in and start talking a little bit about how your service helps property investors and landlords to improve the books, make the picture more clear, and what the value of that is.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. So basically, based on experience, what I've seen, as you mentioned, property management companies are definitely good at trying to keep the vacancy down and do the work orders and get things in order. But what usually happens is that property managements end up promoting one of their property managers to the accounting, which they probably don't have the experience to go with what the job is really requiring. So what happens is that they basically do the data entry, and at the end of the period, they're usually wanting to run a report on a P&L or a balance sheet, and then just hand it over to the investor, hoping that they will not ask a question. But when I go in cases and try to understand what's happening, usually entries are not made correctly. They're not in the correct period. Or if they're accrual, usually they're not being accrued properly. So when the investor is trying to take it for a loan, for refinancing, or actually take it to a market, they usually do not have the best picture, and that basically puts them in a disadvantage. So what happens is that then in cases like that, I go in and try to clean up the general ledger and do reclasses as necessary, and basically put things in order, so then when they do get the reports, they can actually work with those reports, and the value is increased tremendously. So I can give you an example. So one of the properties that I worked with, it was a 1,200-unit multifamily here in Chicago. And they had the ownership of the property for about 25 years. And they had the processes and procedures in place that were not really up to date. And the problem was they were just doing the same thing over and over again for many years, but they were really not seeing the value that the property had. So before I started working with them, the property owners had the valuation done to take it to the market. And one of the big firms came in with a valuation around $20 million less than what it was sold 6 months later. So how the transformation happened was...
Did you say $20 million?
Yes.
Wow.
It was, completely you know, transformation from A to Z, from the processes that they had in place, from even collecting rent or how they were entering them in their software, lack of actual working report. So when and the brokers really didn't have anything against them. It's just like they couldn't put their hands on a working meaningful report. So the best they could do was to do a walkthrough and evaluate it based on the number of units, which basically put the ownership in a very disadvantaged situation, if that was the end of the story, but it wasn't. So I started working with them for about 6 months. Many things got changed, big transformation. One, the big item that I actually tackled was insurance. Insurance was completely, they were overpaying insurance tremendously. It was like one of the highest line items I've ever seen. So I brought it up to the ownership, and I told them, this doesn't look right. And they were hesitant in changing the insurance policy because they had they built relationship, friendship for over years. And I was like, yes, you bet you created the friendship because this guy is making huge amount of money out of you. But it was a big challenge for me to help them understand. And basically I told them, I said, let's take it to the market. If we get a better deal, then let's try it for a year. If you don't like them, you can come back to your prior person that who's doing your insurance. And finally, they agreed. We took it to the market. We took the portfolio to the market and interviewed 3-4 different insurance agencies. And then finally, we decided on one company. And obviously, without showing what our previous premiums were, they came in 25% less than what we were paying, which was about $200,000-$300,000 lower than our annual premium. It was a huge saving that helped the bottom line big time. But the big story behind is not the value of the premium going down, which is huge, but within, I think it was actually 4 months into the new policy, the company was hit with a class action lawsuit. And the prior policy, which was more expensive, didn't cover that. So we were going to be completely out of luck. But this new policy, which was definitely suited for this type of property, did have the coverage that we needed. So the class action lawsuit was taken care of by the insurance we had. So these are the values that really property managers, they cannot come up with because they're busy with day-to-day processes and day-to-day dealing with tenants and leasing agents. And so you definitely need somebody to be able to have a 10,000 feet view and just see exactly what you're paying and what you're paying for. And having insurance, one of the main drivers of cost on the P&L, I think it's definitely worth looking into things like that line by line, trying to find savings, but not also savings, but bring value up. If you're doing this like for a long time, you end up, hiring the same vendors for the longest time, and then you really don't see what's out there, what's new in the market, and the trends that are out there, and you need to be able to keep up with things like that. So that's one of the works that I've done so far, and I have another project that I'm working on. It's a 600 unit. It's the same kind of work, and I'm trying to clean up the ledger and making sure that the investor is going to get the best possible for their investment. So, so that's pretty much how it goes.
Well, and I think the thing is, I'm listening to you. I mean, obviously, if you can reduce those expenses, you're going to improve the net operating income, and that's where the values on commercial real estate is derived from.
Correct.
So I'm curious on, do you find that, are you typically called in when somebody's trying to market a property, or is there a, cause I think when you were mentioning before, if the property owner had a longstanding relationship, I'm assuming that whatever was happening was working for them at a point, at a level that they thought was what it was, you know, they were comfortable.
Right.
They weren't looking for, you know, greater returns. They just said, well, you know, all the lights are on, the bills are paid, we, you know,
right,
we're making money.
Right.
Where do you, are you finding the opportunities when people are getting ready to sell, or when they're getting ready to go get a loan, or is it,
right,
or they come to you?
I think actually for the investors, I think it makes sense for them to do this on a regular basis, because like I said, people get comfortable, you know, probably like you said, at some point that was a good policy to have. But then if you're not reviewing your expenses on a regular basis and trying to see what's out there, you know, if it's, you know, if something better is out there and you're not taking advantage of that, then the next property next door is going to take advantage of that and you're going to be in disadvantage. So when, so I do get calls when people are trying to sell their property, trying to basically pretty it up, but that's not the case all the time. I have other, you know, ongoing clients that I have, you know, on a monthly basis we do that. And not every month we, you know, we cannot hit every line item every month. So it's a work that needs to be done. It's like maintenance. You have to keep it up on a regular basis. And so if you're working with an insurance agent, I think it's a good idea to try to see if something you can do better. And so, so I agree. It's not a one-time deal, or it's not when you're trying to sell or get a refinancing, but it can be, it's a great practice if you do it on a regular basis.
Do you look at it as implementing systems? I mean, is it a system approach? Is it more a matter of just things are a mess and you've got to straighten them all up and then implement the systems, or kind of a comedy?
Yeah, so most cases, the way it works is that you can't implement a process until you actually find the issue. So half of the work is to diagnose the issue and see how things got the way they are. So it's cleanup. So after the cleanup phase is over, then you then start thinking about the unique situation each property has and the management team that's already in place and how you can shift some responsibilities, add more, take some, and so create more defined lines and have people follow those. And then after the implementation is done, then you have to have an oversight to make sure those are actually kept and are improved on a regular basis. So, so like I said, management companies do a good job of doing the day-to-day stuff, but you, and then the property owners, they're like, okay, we're paying 3-4% off revenue, then everything should probably is working well. But they don't understand that they as an owner are responsible for their own investment as far as how it's doing, how well it's doing. And so that's the layer that they usually skip, and they hope, they think that they know the numbers, and when they see the P&L, that they try to make sense of it, but they don't understand that there is, not that they don't understand, but there is a misconception that the numbers that have are the end of it. They there are so much work that they can be done to improve it. And if they don't take that step to improve that, then they're putting themselves in disadvantage.
Do you have any kind of a sense of a maybe a range or a percentage rate of improvement that you've typically achieved when you, you know, if you start working with somebody that hasn't had any kind of you know, professional, you know, accounting as opposed to more of a property management approach? Do you have any kind of a?
Well, I can speak with the experience that I've had. So for projects that I've worked, typically their revenue goes up by about 8%. And it's not because now the accounting side, but also then if they're not, like, one example I can think of is that there was a property that we're just, you know, renting the unit $700 a month, and that's what it is. And so there was not much of a market comparison. There are so many softwares out there right now that do offer real-time market comparison. And so I helped them implement that. And just by doing that one little thing, which wasn't little, I mean, it's a big process to retrain your property management team to work with that, but it's so efficient and errors go down, and the you know, having issues with the application processing and all that, it goes away because now the system is actually doing it for you. So the percentage of error goes down. And so, but the rent is on demand. I mean, the rent is based on what the supply and demand of the market is dictating. It's not because you think it's 700 and it has to stay 700. So by doing that, like I said, this property within after the implementation was done, within 6 months, we were able to increase it by 8%, which helped tremendously. So when I come in, I don't only just go through the expense, but see if there are ways we can improve the revenue as well. So revenue goes up, hopefully expenses go down, and together, like I said, we were able to achieve huge return on the valuation of the property. So the range could be different, but it's definitely worth trying and not going to, you know, assume that what you see is, you know, what you get is that's the best you can have.
Right. When you come into a situation like this, I'm assuming you take the books as they are, and then you go through and assess them and find the errors and go back and correct them. Mm-hmm. Once that baseline has been established, how long do you find it takes to reorient you know, all of the players to adhere to the new mm-hmm. system? Is there is there resistance, or is it more of just it's a new way and they've got to be retrained? And
right. Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because you know, you always have to make sure that when something is changing, there's a good explanation behind it. It's not, you know, you have to come up with a positive attitude that it's going to make everybody's work easier and better, and it's not trying to minimize what they're doing, but help them enhance their work experience as well. So if you have, as a property manager, that you have to deal with 20 paperwork that you have to sign and have this person approve it and that person approve it, and then you have to have somebody to actually file those paperwork, and it's just basically lots of unnecessary steps. If you can eliminate that and have them now focus on what their job is, which is helping tenants and helping them find, you know, unit that they need and building a relationship, then they're more open to it. So there's always a better approach is to build a solid understanding of why we're doing what we're doing, and then they become more open to new things and changing things that they've done for so long. Of course, there's going to be resistance, because sometimes it's because of fear of, okay, then they won't need me type of situation. But usually, you usually keep your staff and have them do more without actually being busy work. It's not going to be busy work anymore, but it's going to be producing work, and they'll be more fulfilled with that.
Well, I know that change is one of those things that I think we're all naturally a little bit resistant to. It's we've always done it this way, or
right.
This is how we do things here.
Right.
So on that, is there any kind of a timeline that you find that it?
Oh yeah, so you asked about timeline. Sorry about that.
Well, no,
Right. So what I actually do, the way it works, is that it's important to build that trust. So usually it happens over a couple of site visits. So then I sit down and talk to the team that's in place and, you know, lay down how things are going to work. But typically it takes about 4 to 6 weeks to do the cleanup work. And after the cleanup work is done for the implementation and assessing the situation, after that probably it will be another month to 3 months, but it depends on, again, how fast things can go and how the ownership is willing to take charge of this and push for it. So I would say the total probably would be somewhere between 3 to 6 months that you're actually going to see difference and tremendous difference in what the bottom line is going to be.
Do you find that ownership is pretty agreeable and willing to commit?
Yeah, I think this is somewhat, it's a new approach because, like I said, most investors are used to the idea of paying the 3% or 4% property management, and what I'm getting should be, the final product. And for them to come back and realize that usually that's not the case, and so it's a new concept almost for them. But the problem is that the ownership, really, they don't need to have a full-time CFO on board to do that, because it's not a full-time CFO job, because after the process is in place, it's a very minimal oversight on a monthly basis that can take care of that. So you cannot have somebody there 40 hours and be able to even put them on payroll. It's so unnecessary. So for the investors who are interested in keeping their property in a lean but profitable shape, I think they're very excited to hear about this option. And they're, as soon as they hear it, they're like, exactly, that's what I need. So it's just a little bit of education on this side to explain exactly what they're getting and why they need it. And as soon as they're like, exactly, that's what I need. And so I think as soon as they understand what the concept is and what the final product is going to be, I think they're very open to it.
If you were looking at a new potential client's books, mm-hmm. is there one place that you feel like you could look to directly and recognize something that's amiss?
Yes. And that's usually the net operating income. That's where I usually go. If you see a lot of fluctuation, that means things are not being done correctly. Because if your books are correct and your accountant is doing what they're supposed to be doing, as a property, you should not have so much fluctuation. And it should be a very, not like 100% steady line, but explainable if there is a hike or a drop. So if that number is all over, and when you ask the question, why is it this and that, and then they go through like 2 hours of explanation, but nothing on paper, then yes, that's what you need help. You need to make sure. It's almost like a lawn care. You need things to be trimmed and in order, and things to need look neat, at the end of the day.
Right. Well, I know that books and insurance are not exactly things that people get all excited about. But at the end of the day, like you're saying, it directly affects their the values and, their bottom line.
Right.
And it pays to pay attention and actually, have somebody that's looking at with a critical eye as to whether or not things are as good as they can be.
Right. And, right. And that's one of the issues that, you know, insurance, it can be a very crucial part of this whole conversation because it's a big expense for most operations, but it has the best value that's out there due to the fact that I just told you, within 4 months of implementing that process, that case, that lawsuit, could have cost us in millions. But because we had the right coverage in place, it was definitely worth every penny of it. So then there's that factor always. It's not like, oh, if it's going to happen, it's just when it's going to happen and if you have the right thing, right policy in place. So and so that's one of the things actually I usually look through and to see if their coverage is right, if their amount is, you know, what's covering is efficient for the size of the property and so the pricing of it, sometimes it's very low, which, you know, means the coverage is not right. Or if it's super high, that means they haven't even looked at it in years. So, yeah, definitely. That's one of the opportunities that people can definitely take care of.
Well, I like hearing that. And not to pry, but I'm just kind of curious if you can share the line of coverage that was not in place that was in the new program that saved your customer
So the original coverage, which was with one of the top four entities, I'm not going to name names, but they were like one of the top four, their coverage was, they were covering everything, so unnecessary, but they didn't have E&O in place and errors and omission in place. But with the new coverage that we had, that was already in place. And when the lawsuit came, it was just the errors of a management team member, so they were easily able to cover it. And it was a
discrimination.
Right. Thank you. It was a discrimination lawsuit, which could have been really costly, but thankfully it was it was covered, so we were all set. And all we had to do was call our agent and say, "You're it. So go for it." And they took care of it. And so,
Well, and I know from experience that you want to have a happy customer, it's when you're able to say, yes, you've got coverage, as opposed to no, there's no coverage. So I'm sure they were delighted to have that. That's great.
Right, yeah. Very, very relieved. And, you know, it could have caused the entire company to collapse. So it's definitely worth looking into it.
Another question here I got for you. You're based in Chicago, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you, do you work with clients all over, or do you?
I do. I have clients in Texas and Indiana and Colorado. So, yes, I mean, with technology age these days, location really don't matter. And so I do travel. I do site visits, but most of the work is done after the site visit is complete, which it takes a couple of days to just get to know people and talk to them and have a firsthand experience with what they're experiencing. So, but after that, work is done remotely.
When you're looking at different areas, do you find, the different areas perform vastly different, property, similar class property? Are there some similarities that you expect, or is it each property is unique? Or?
Yeah, usually, I mean, each property is unique, and depending on the market that that's located, it depends. I mean, markets go through cycles, and each market has its own cycle. Then you have the national cycle of what's going on in the news. So as far as the property, though, the operation and what things are similar, maybe the numbers, that range would be different, but the situations are almost identical. All, you know, properties go through the same issue. So it's very common to see the same issue different places, but as far as pricing goes and what the price per unit should be for one expense in Illinois doesn't equal that it has to be the same thing in California or in Colorado. So that aspect is different, but overall, globally, it's almost the same. You just have to know the market enough to, to look for signs that will show a red flag.
Got it. Well, I know my wife and I, we've been looking at some properties, and I can attest to what you speak of with the, some of the kind of owner-operator properties we've looked at where the books haven't been as detailed as you'd like, and right. What you end up with is a bunch of the industry average estimates for right. all of these line item costs, and I'm assuming that's not to their, it's not helping them, but it's also, I would think it makes the buyer a little leery, not having some sort of, what's really going on here? You know, what right. am I really buying?
Right. Yeah, I think that those are very typical. Like, you've seen them probably, if you've been in real estate long enough, there are industry averages. But real estate specifically is so location centered. Like, if your location dictates what everything is, and so if the industry average for U.S. is X, doesn't mean that translates to your property. So you have to have that market knowledge to go with that, and just use that as a guidance, but also have enough experience to adjust the number up or down depending on the market. So.
Is there a minimum size of a investor, or you mentioned two different property owner. I think one had 600 units, the other had like 1,200 units.
Right.
Is there an ownership size of units that you find where people are more willing to engage, or is there a place where you find that your services are more desired or valued, or is it from zero to infinity?
Yeah, that's a great question. I one of the properties that I work with, the owner has only 12 units. And so it's like, they have it as an investor and they buy one unit every year and they add to the portfolio. And I work with them as well. So it doesn't have to be 1,200 units. I do have, like I said, this property owner that has only 12 units, but the concept is almost the same. The issues that they deal with are very similar. So, but most of my work is done, with multifamily, residential now, depending on the size. The size only is the volume. So, but the processes do apply for any volume. So not really. It's not so specific, but the examples I gave you are, those are the ones that that have seen the tremendous return on their investment and how things can work. And I have, like I said, any other clients that I have different. Like, I have one client here in Illinois that they have bought 10 different entities, and each entity has anywhere between, 50 units up to 250 units, but each entity, then other entities are just land, so it doesn't have to be all like multifamily. There are shopping centers that I deal with as well as office buildings. So it's commercial real estate, anything goes basically.
Well, that's good to know. I'm sure that there are plenty of owner groups that have a fewer number of units that could certainly benefit from having somebody take a look at their books, like you're offering there. And because eventually, nobody talks about it when you're trying to grow your business, but eventually everybody has some sort of a transition that's going to occur, whether it be to the next generation or to sell or however. Right. And it's at that point that you're definitely, you don't want to miss out on value that's there that you couldn't demonstrate because your books weren't up to snuff there. So.
Right. I always tell this example. It's like when you're trying to sell your own private home, what you do is you try to, when they're staging your property, they're trying to put the best foot in front. And why wouldn't you do that with your investment that you worked for your whole life with it? You know, so that's where it is. Like you have to, make sure everything looks as best as it possibly could. So that's where people usually miss out. And it's a huge effect. So it's not like, the return on that is very, very large. So you'd really need to take care of that.
Got it. So Thelma, if I'm understanding right, it seems to me that your services could be of real value to a commercial real estate broker if they're looking at bringing a property to market, but the books don't make sense. Is there a strategy that might be employed with you to help it out?
Right, and that's exactly right. So what happened was that the broker reached out to me on a property that she was working on, and she realized that there is tremendous value that she cannot take the books as they were to the market and get the best results. So after reviewing the initial reports, then she contacted the owner and said that you need to talk to Thelma. And so he did reach out to me, and at first I'm like, exactly, this needs help. So after my work was done, the broker, who is actually the vice chairman of a very known brokerage firm, was able to sell the property for $20 million more. And this was a couple years ago. But then a few months ago, then again, she referred me to another owner who was interested in selling the property but needed work. So, yes, exactly. Those are the type of projects that come up. And basically, it takes anywhere between 3 to 6 months to put things in place and implement them. And then if you're trying to do the trailing 12, you need to sit on the property for maybe another 12 months. But the value that you were going to get, it's going to be probably in millions. That's going to be difference. The difference is going to be in millions. So I think there's definitely that value that a broker can bring to their potential client by introducing this to them and having everybody benefit from the outcome.
Well, I'm guessing the same would be true of a new owner if they had bought a property that had been, underperforming and had some issues.
Exactly.
Bring you in on the front end there.
Right.
If they're looking to reposition or flip a property.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So if they have a property that has value and they see the value, the potential, but the processes are not in place to get that value out, then, with having it from the beginning definitely helps them create that wealth from the beginning instead of waiting for the last few months. So because they are the ones who are going to benefit from it from the beginning, and that was probably a reason they bought it. So value add to the point that it's going to generate more income and bring the value of the portfolio up. Yes, that's definitely the case. So,
Thelma, I'm running out of questions. I feel like we've covered it. Is there anything that we should have addressed that you wished I would have asked you?
No, I think this has been a very interesting conversation. I hope that, you know, it was helpful, and I hope that people can find it useful and they can apply it to their own practices. But I appreciate you giving me this chance to talk to you, and yeah.
Well, I've certainly enjoyed it, and you've been, you know, a wealth of information. My eyes have been opened, and recognize, you know, there's plenty of opportunities for somebody to employ somebody like you to improve their situation. Before we close out here, you want to go ahead and give some contact information for people that might want to seek you out? And
sure. Yeah. So I have a website. My website is actually my last name, atlantorion.com. Or I have LinkedIn. People can go through LinkedIn and find me, and I'll be happy to be connected with them. I also have my Elite website, which is cpaebook.com. And so, yeah, I mean, you can definitely Google my name, and I should pop up somewhere, so you can find me easily.
Well, and I'll be sure to include your contact information there in the show notes. But you know, if anybody's looking for you, I encourage them to reach out to you there.
I appreciate that.
Well, you got it. Thelma, thank you so much for doing this, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Well, value-add accounting. It's impressive how having a trained professional can improve on what you're doing and ultimately the value of your property. If you are a broker working with a client and or you are trying to reposition your own property, it certainly makes sense to make certain you're getting the value expressed on actuals rather than industry averages, and put your property in the best light. To learn more or to contact Thelma, I've got her contact information in the show notes, but you can reach her at www.landhorian.com, and her last name is spelled L-A-N-D-H-O-R-I-A-N. And also she's on LinkedIn at Thelma, T-E-L-M-A, Landhorian, L-A-N-D-H-O-R-I-A-N. Before we get out of here, again, I want to remind you, if you haven't, please subscribe. That way you'll know whenever we have a new episode posted. We know you're busy. We thank you for making time for us today. We appreciate you. Until next time, thanks for listening to Commercial Real Estate Pro Network's CREPN Radio.
You're listening to CREPN Radio for influential commercial real estate professionals. For more information on this or any of our guests, like us on Facebook, CREPN Radio.